feelings. Welcome to Feel Feelings with Danny and George, the show that talks about feelings and the things that make you feel them.
Oh, I'm just a little out of breath, but it'll be fine. It'll be good.
Yeah, you're runner boy now.
I'm a run boy.
Project. Hi, George. Run boy. Let's start on run boy. What's up?
Hey, I'm a run boy now. This is Feel Feelings with Danny and run boy.
And run boy.
And I run. shout out, Mike, who haven't been introduced yet.
No, he has. It's Michael Beavers. Welcome, Michael.
Mike Beavers is here. Why do we force it?
I mean, it says his name on the title of the episode, so people are like, why are they making him wait? But he's here. Welcome.
Oh, they can see. Yeah, I guess they can see that. They can see my name on the top right.
Yeah, they chose to listen to you, man.
Yeah,
they saw it. They were like, you know what? I do want to listen to Michael Beavers. That's what I want
to
do.
Normally, I skip it, but I'll listen to the Michael Beavers episode
on my drive time to work. That's what I want. Mike,
I'd be flattered.
How you doing?
I'm doing just superb, stellar. Actually.
Stellar. We've been off mic. We were talking about your plush robe. You got a plush robe, which put, I think, a LeBron shirt underneath. Like, you are, this is Sunday. This is definitely
This is definitely a pajama shirt. I would not wear this out in public. A man's face on my shirt. But yes, the robe is cozy. It's comfortable.
Listen, man, I got like a death metal angel on my shirt. So we all have fun ideas of what we're allowed to wear outside. I mean, look at this.
I'm wearing a shirt with the heart on it, but I designed it myself. It says Allentown is for lovers of Allentown.
You make.
Oh, wow. Intriguing.
Yeah, he designs his own. So this way, it's not more of a fashion thing. It's just there's never been a shirt that Danny's been in a store and goes, you know what? I want that shirt. He's never found it. So he took it upon himself.
Yeah. Honestly, that is kind of what happened.
I respect the initiative. I respect the ambition. I do not have it in me to put in that much energy and that much effort.
To put a bit on a shirt.
Yeah, and it says of Allentown in really small writing, so people have to get really close to me, which I did not anticipate.
Yeah.
I don't like that part.
For someone that doesn't like proximity, you really fucked up on that.
So I guess I should say I sound like this, and this is the best I've sounded for 3 days, where we did our annual wine bus, my family, and I had a coughing fit in the escape room that started the day, and I have not had a voice since. So this is the best I've sounded, which I should also point out, I had this same voice yesterday when I proposed. I'm engaged now.
Whoa!
I don't know if we were talking about it. I don't know. Mike was already in the chat, and I didn't know if we could talk about it, but we could talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, the official post will go up later, which is just such a weird modern thing to have to deal with.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I'm engaged. I have a fiance.
Play the boys!
That's right.
It lives!
The bit is back to life.
It's been like, what, 6 years?
Yeah, something like that.
That's a fun dig, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, he's seen her tell the joke, and I've seen her tell the joke one too many times.
Oh, I'm so happy.
You know, I was always confused because, like, your names are already, like, they're already, like, homonyms. Or what is that?
I'm a phone.
Your last name's already homonym? Is that what?
I forget. I get that wrong every time, and I literally... Homophones. Anytime it comes up, homophones. I look it up and immediately homophones. Forget it. I think it's homophone. Yeah.
Yeah. It's homophones because they sound the same. I remember that little neat cheat.
They don't sound the same. Dan's is Getz and Meg's is Getz. It's Getz.
Is that how you're supposed to pronounce it? I thought it was always just
Getz. It is both the same.
Mike, that's how I pronounce it.
So wait, is that actually both your real last names? Getz and
Getz? It's her dad's adopted last name. Which is why there's no concern at all about it. But yeah, it is both of our real last names.
So now she's just going to be Getz. She's going to remove the O from her last name.
I'm insisting that she doesn't, as the producer of her record that has her other name on it. I need that name to maintain.
We were
at least professionally. You're going to change your name. Your name's going to be O. You're going to put
the O. I'll take it.
Oh, put the O in parentheses, so you have parentheses in the middle of your name.
The thing that greets us on our front door has that, and she made it. So I was like, all right, put it in parentheses. Mine's the real one.
Oh, that's great. And no, valid point with the album. First of all, incredibly proud of you. You texted me last night, and we were watching Doctor Who, and you kind of ruined Doctor Who for us. Because now that's all we wanted to talk about.
I mean, how good is it anyway?
There was a thing called the Meep, and it was weird and cute, and I liked it.
Was it weird and cute and also somehow evil? Because that's Doctor Who to me. We're going to ruin everything you like. Bye.
I don't want to spoil it for anyone else watching, but yeah, that's the plot. Yeah. the good call on the having her keep her last name.
Yeah. I'm so upset that I actually said the word homonyms. Like, that's actually a word. I'm going to want that deleted, but I'm mad I said that instead of homophones.
I'm going to look it up.
I think synonyms is a word, right? Like, synonyms. I just thought homonyms is the reasonable alternative.
So, homophone are words that sound alike, and homonym are words that are hymns that sound like you've already sang them in church.
Yeah, okay. Homonym is two or more words having the same spelling, but have different meanings and origins.
Oh, okay. So it actually is a kind of a thing. It's like different, it has the same pronunciation. Okay.
So I think it might be. Homonym might be the right one.
Well, homophones is definitely, I think.
Homophone might be like read a book and read the color.
Yeah, but like, yeah, maybe you are. I don't know.
You might have been right the first time. We might have talked you out of it.
Welcome to Feel Feelings, everybody.
Yeah. Word talk on Feel Feelings.
All right, well, Dan, I say let's schedule Meg on.
Yes, we will have her on next week ahead of her birthday roast. So
I thought for sure, as soon as there was promotion for her birthday roast, I thought 100% that you were proposing there.
That's like, what everybody thought for the album recording too, and I was like, I can't mix moments. I can't cross pollinate these moments of like, no, this is the roast day. It's not also like proposal day. It can't be both.
Come on, you know her vows are gonna be a roast anyway. So
I got ideas already.
Good. Don't cry. Don't cry like I did.
Oh, come on. You know I'm going to.
Yeah, but like, oh my. So Dan was at my wedding a couple weeks ago, and I fucking sobbed. I wrote my vows last minute and then just thought like, yeah, no, I'm
no, I can
I wrote,
do it.
I wrote really good vows, but I didn't get the cry time out over the next few weeks.
Yeah, so, the warm up. You didn't get the cry warm-up.
No, it was like borderline, like, oh no.
I could barely get through it. Oh, man.
Barely. At one point I turned to the crowd and told them to shut up. It was
that was me as
you
officiant
weren't even just
for my
not
one
even just
friend.
As you are the best of me.
You went through multiple tissues.
You were stuttering.
Oh no, it was like a child who scraped his knee, but I now belong to a woman.
It sounds more like a child that got an ass whooping to me, is what it sounds like.
And I did.
Yeah, from somebody who shouldn't have won that fight. He's like, wait, no, now I'm embarrassed also.
But I can't wait.
Hey, nothing wrong with crying, man.
No, it's a show. Dan's cried on this show. I have yet to cry on this show, but I cried. I feel like I traded by cashing in all my cry points.
Yeah,
at
you
my
saved
wedding.
It up. Yeah, oh, I got to see it, so it's fine.
If crying makes you a pussy, then I'm a grade A pussy. So
I've always said that about you.
I will embrace, but it does. I don't think it does. I don't think it does make you a pussy. But if people think that, then yeah, I will embrace it.
You got
it. I'm not buying into that idea, but
this is a show called Feel Feelings.
He's vulnerable, man.
Vulnerability
is important.
It is, and that was the whole thing. Like, if I can give you any advice as someone who's been married for about a month, be vulnerable in that moment, because it's one of the few moments where you get to be vulnerable and sincere, and not try
you,
to be.
You had to
a laugh-time
Your
fun
hand
boy.
Was
like,
forced.
Yeah, it wasn't that it was forced. I was like, I made a commitment, and she was like, by the end of it, she was like, you know, you can make like a light joke, and I was like, no. No.
Yeah. Alleviate this tension a little bit, please.
No. but we will talk about that next week. Dan, I'm so happy for you. Mike, you are our guest, and we're so excited to have you. Are you ready for our Lightning McQueen Inside Out Lightning Round? No copyright infringement. No, ka-chow.
Kurt.
100%. Well, I will say, like, there's times where I might, I was up to like six watching Secret Invasion on Disney Plus
because
I
just feel
absorbed into it. So
I'm trying to avoid it.
Yeah. I was confusing at times.
Okay. I avoided it because of all the bad press, but I'm wondering if I go back to watch it.
I enjoyed it. And it seems like it's going to be very important to the plot. If you're an MCU nerd like I am, it seems like it's going to be very important to the plot. I wanted to watch it before I watched the Marvels.
Yeah,
that's what's holding me back on that. There's so much stuff like leading up to Marvels that I just haven't seen yet. Yeah. And I'm like, well,
that's why I love Loki, because the newest season of Loki is like, it's nice. It kind of rounds everything out, and it doesn't really affect the greater world. I think it will.
But it doesn't.
It feels nice and ziplocked.
Right. That's the other thing I gotta watch before, potentially, just in case there's anything. But
really good. Favorite show of the year.
For sure.
All right, lightning round.
Boom. So for you and for the listener, I will ask you the six basic emotions real quick. Just, first thought, best thought, and then the ones that stand out, we will come back to and talk about after we're done all six. So, what makes you feel surprised?
I feel like if achieving something that, like, I guess I didn't feel like I worked that hard for, that's always surprising. Like, something that I get like an accolade or something that I really didn't expect, or the other way, like if I work really hard at something and I don't get something, or if something I feel like I didn't deserve, or something that I end up obtaining, that's okay. Always surprising.
What makes you feel disgust?
The Dallas Cowboys franchise, definitely. Yeah. Sports lose on ways that they shouldn't lose, like in the second round of the playoffs for the Sixers, or they would
repeatedly
repeated losses. That makes me feel disgust. I don't know. What else? There's plenty. Yeah, there's a lot of things that make me feel disgust. That's something that I think, the amount of things that make me feel disgust is abundant. Let's see. Lima beans.
You're very literal now.
Yeah, absolutely. Things with a weird texture. I can't do apples or anything. I can't take like applesauce, oatmeal. So I can't do things that already feel like they've been chewed,
That sucks. I hate
you
that.
Fucking ruined apples for
it's
me.
Like throw up, it tastes, tastes like vomit, and I can't do it.
How often do you drink and vomit?
Yeah, you say that, and then I look at my dog just vomit. Doing it.
Well, I don't know. Every time when I vomit, it's like, oh, it feels like, oh, yeah, this would be like, sometimes when I vomit, I'd be like, I think this is what oatmeal tastes like.
My new job, speaking of licking and doing and gross things happening with dogs, my new job is to
monitor. Work in music.
Yep. I'm at home. Chore is to after the dog licks its own asshole, to stop Casey from putting her face near its mouth, because she won't pay attention and then be like, oh my god, I love you so much, and I just have to like hand in between them and be like, that's a butthole face, don't lick the face.
Yeah, let it work itself out a little bit more before you get in there.
Have some water. Rinse, spit. Can dogs spit? Can they rinse? I don't know. Next emotion.
What makes you feel fear?
Just uncertainty, the potential for things that I'm not like sure of. Sometimes there's times where like I used to be like in comedy scared to bomb in front of certain people, or fearful of going up in front of black people, even as a black person, I used to be fearful of that.
Hey brother, same.
Right. See, you're right. I get that. I totally get that for you. But I used to be fearful going up in front of black people, because I've seen the things, at the like Apollo, that stuff sticks with you, and black people are just tougher critics. So that made me scared. I used to be always very, nervous, apprehensive going up in funniest, for these funniest last couple of years when I did it. It made me scared. you know, sometimes women scare me, I'll be honest. You know, like, if I approach them, they're delicate creatures, and you know, that is, you know, at times I've become less scared, but you know, just the idea of what can happen, the idea of rejection, you know, is it, you know, in the comedy sense, with sense with women, you know, that's that made me fearful, you know.
All right, I'm gonna write down rejection for all that. What makes you feel anger?
Yeah, I guess I already went through this with disgust with Philly sports, but yeah, I'm very passionate about those, you know. But you know, every time I can be very angry throughout the game whenever they get calls they don't get, when I feel like when the referees are taking things from us as a Philly sports fan, that makes me really upset. It was like, when we're doing well and we get jobbed by a third party,
nothing is more frustrating than that guy going, you know what, I need to matter right now.
Yeah,
I hate it.
You have
I
to
hate
make,
it
yeah,
so
you have
much.
To make an impact. You don't. You should. If you do, make an impact in the other way and give us a call when they don't. We don't deserve it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that makes me. You know,
I do notice watching that, like, every once in a while you see like just tit for tat sometimes where it's like, okay, we gave you a bum call, now we're gonna wait to find them a bum
call.
Oh,
there's definitely makeup calls. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. They try to compensate. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's just like, nah, man, just do it right the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because. And sometimes when I mean, other than that, there's nothing makes me more angry in a moment than that. But, you know, sometimes I get angry when I see, like, oppression, mm-hmm. you know, it's the outside, and, you know, in the world.
I hate referees and oppression.
That's crazy. What a crazy combination that is. It is.
I mean, it's like, there is kind of a connection. Referees are the oppressor. They're given all the power in a situation where they should have none.
And who are they? Yeah. You know?
Free will.
Yeah.
Exactly. Who do they think they are?
You know, yes, they need to be replaced with AI. I feel like there's always be a third party in a booth to be able to make.
Yeah, like, I wonder if there will be eventually like a fully AI game. Like, you know how they do like the Pixar game and the Slime Time Nickelodeon game. Like, I wonder if like IBM is gonna
like
do
the players. The AI.
Yeah.
Oh wow!
I'm watching Live Madden.
Live Madden. Maybe it'll have John Mann's voice.
That'd be cool.
I hope.
That is interesting. But other than that, I mean, traffic, I'm trying to think. that's you know, but yeah, what? I mean, I don't know. I don't really get angry too often, to be honest with you. But yeah, nothing more sports than I see news sometimes and, you know, read history. History makes me angry sometimes, but traffic.
Yeah.
Those things. You know what I'm saying?
What makes you referees, feel... oppression, history. Traffic.
Yeah. But he's not an angry person.
No, he's not an angry person.
Yeah. What makes you feel joy?
Being able to do what I love. That's cool. You know, with comedy, you know, intercourse, football, sports, you know, there was those things with Marvel, those things make me feel joyful doing. Being able to just hang, do what I appreciate doing. And just being when I get to feel appreciated or to show others my appreciation, you know, from being around family, you know, those are cool, you know. But nice. Yeah, those, nothing more than comedy intercourse and sports. And I mean, I guess I gotta throw family in there too. They being around them, that makes people joyful.
Yeah, family, whatever. But sex, I mean, come on.
But yeah, absolutely.
I hope they never meet. even if you meet a nice person who has the last name, you know. The Avers, and this way it's like not weird, you know.
Yeah, it's Beavers. It's totally fine.
Just maybe just
singular.
Singular. And lastly,
what makes you feel sadness?
Let's see. The same thing. There was some of the same. Like I think, you know, when like after the rejection or like the aftermath of something when it. Something's already happened, you know. Sometimes I'll be angry in the moment at Philly sports, and then when you lose, then I instead of feeling like angry, I'm sad, you know, and it affects my mood. Or it's like somebody, like the aftermath of like something really, you know, awful happens in the world, you know, or it's like something's like depressing, you know. I think it makes me, you know, sad, you know, or if I didn't get something that I thought I deserved, you know, that makes me, you know, sad. You know, sometimes you just have to mourn things that that have already happened, like in the past. So, you know, everything, yes, things that I've already said, like, I think once it's in, like, it's a, like, I move past the stage of anger, you know, like the stage of grief, and then I move on to sadness. It's just like, so a lot of things I've already said, they'll just eventually they'll turn from anger to sadness. I feel like that's a common, like,
The Philly sports example, I can relate to that so much. We're like, losing a regular season game, I'm a little disappointed. I watch a lot of baseball. You get used to it. There's a lot of losing, even when your team's really good. It's disappointing, but it's fine. And you get to the playoffs, and you start looking really bad, and you know that they have three games left to lose, and they're going to do it. And I feel really sad.
That's kind of how I feel about the Eagles, where it's like, they're doing so well.
Oh, this is the worst great team I've ever seen.
Yeah. And it's just, I want them, like, I never thought I'd be a fan of a team where I'm like, I need you to lose so it doesn't hurt as much. Like, I need you to lose now.
I need you to remind yourselves what losing feels like so I can feel it also.
But also go Birds.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be tough. But if they're like the 49ers in playoffs, I think it's going to, I think it's inevitably going to happen. You know?
Yeah.
It's what tonight's Bills. Not to date the podcast at all. So, you know, good luck. Hope it works out. I'll be at fucking Friendsgiving. So, watching it with strangers' boyfriends. There's nothing worse than doing what you want to do alone with people you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. I don't want to go. And also, let me ask you guys, it's kind of important. and this will go into, let's say, said. Thanksgiving.
Heard of it?
Do you guys do mac and cheese?
Yeah. 100%.
Not every time, but fairly regular. It wasn't there this year, but most
every
years.
Time. Yeah. You gotta have that.
I thought it was important. I thought this was like a part of
this is a staple.
Thing. Yeah, it's a staple. And I married into an Italian family. I thought there was mac and cheese before, but no, they're Italian. They do lasagna.
Oh.
Why?
Nah.
No.
Oh man, that is pooch. That's blasphemous.
Wrong.
Like for me, mac and cheese is just not replaced with anything.
That is that's
if,
a travesty.
If it's not there.
Yeah. They're like, "Well, we have lasagna." And I was like, "What the fuck? It's not the same."
No, it's absolutely not.
Guanto didn't teach these white people to plant fish in corn to create corn for you to fuck up the mac and cheese.
that honestly is disgust. I would be disgusted if I was. That would give me the anger, the emotion of disgust because I don't like lasagna. You know,
listen, like, my aunt, she made everything and it tasted great, but it was like it didn't match. You know, like you do your turkey and your mash and your stuffing. And
save that for the other family. You can make that a Christmas if you want.
Yeah, and then you put that on a plate, and then your seconds are whatever you like best. But I can't do that with lasagna. I just have like a plate of this, and then my seconds is the lasagna. So I'm not rude. Like
the lasagna is not a side. It's not a side.
It's not. Right. It's a main.
Right. Okay, you guys think mac and cheese is side?
I mean, depends on
no,
how you
I, like
it.
I have. If you put okay, like good. Shit on
like,
the top,
I thought white people thought that they were a meal. That's what I thought that you guys.
No, it's back and forth. You know,
okay.
Depends on quantity.
As soon as you're older than 5 years old, it's not a meal anymore. Okay, it's not.
Yeah.
Like little kids have mac and cheese for dinner. Adults have mac and cheese on the side of a much better meal.
Okay. That's how it should be. I concur. I just thought that I wasn't sure if you would agree, but yes.
But lasagna. So
my condolences for not being able to have the mac and cheese.
Thank you.
Upsetting, tragic even.
How far is it till I have like it's not an annulment anymore?
Oh, I don't know. I think you're still in the window. You can take it back. He gone.
Take like no reverse.
No.
So I want to go into your surprise answer there, your undeserved achievements. What are some examples of undeserved achievements that you were like, whoa, I can't believe I got that?
There's definitely been women that I've gotten with that I did not expect to be able to do that I would not expect,
and we're proud of you.
Yeah,
congratulations.
I remember the semifinals of Philly's Funniest. I got done performing and I had to leave immediately because I had a show right after. Because I was going to originally be the 15th, but I had my surgery that day. So I had to.
All right. That boot that you were wearing forever.
Yeah, that those crutches. I was a crippled dork for months. You know, people forgot. So, but I had to switch it to the next day. On the, which I had chosen the 15th because I had a show on the 16th. And then I was like, all right, I performed literally, and then I went off to another show, and then I was just like, I felt like I had not done my, I went first to the show, and I did not feel like I had a set that was worthy of advance, even though I hadn't seen anybody else. I didn't see other people that were performing, like, who was it, Alejandro, Naeem, Drew, Marcus LeVar, Drew Montana, Marcus LeVar, Anna Gallagher, yeah. Brendan Smith, really, like, all these people. I was like,
yeah,
it was Stagnificent, Elizabeth. I was like, I looked at that lineup in the, who else, Josh Martier, and I was like, yep, that's probably the end for me. And so when I went through, I was like, whoa, that's crazy. You know,
a lot of people must have done a lot of bad sets that day.
when?
For you to advance over that. Over
it must have been, but that's the thing. People didn't say, I asked people, like, who you think going to advance? He was like, oh, I don't know. Everybody was so good. And I know it, the crowd of lineup, but I was like, I didn't see anybody else. And I was like, yep, probably the end for me. So when I said my name, I couldn't believe it. You know, I was shocked. Hmm. You know,
that is, it's interesting too, because it's like, you're treating comedy how you're supposed to treat comedy, where you're like, yeah, I'm going to go up. Like, I'm pretty far, and I see the thing in front of me, but like, comedy isn't a competition. I'm going to go do my other fucking show. I'll see you guys later at the bar or something.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, like that. I feel like that's why you passed on, is because you're treating it as it's comedy. Like, you're treating it as
another,
like,
show.
This is just another show, and this is what I have to do. Like, I'm not trying to impress everyone. I think a lot of people, especially in the earlier rounds, go in because they paid the $25 and they're like, this is my shot. And like, they're like, it's competitive.
Well, yeah, I did that. I absolutely did that. Like, I was like, I thought that I was going to win every time. It was my first ever time doing comedy, like, I thought that I was good enough to win, even though I had never done comedy a day in my life. I was like, yeah, I'm going to fool everybody. Like, I'm hilarious. I'm going to win this competition, even though
my last name is Beavers. It's halfway there. It's like friend of the show, Glenn Tickle. His last name is Tickle. You have to be a comedian. Yeah,
now you do comedy.
Right. He wouldn't do it right. And I worked on like a joke of my last. I just found out last year that apparently Beavers meant it's a term.
Wow, did you not go to school with children?
I don't know if it's because we're black. I don't know. I never heard that. I was like, somebody said you should make a joke about, like, you know, all the women you get to. I call it Beavers for Beavers. Say, like, you're running like a business.
Yeah, man. It used to be a fucking subgenre on Pornhub.
I see, bro. I don't know what.
I didn't do that.
I didn't do it. So that was surprise. I was like, man, this is a term that I can use in my comedy, like Beavers. I didn't realize that it was, like, you know,
it's
so,
there. Yeah. It's there for you. What a blessing. Just to come out. It's like when I found out my last name translated to brother man, I felt immediately better about doing comedy, John.
That is quite there.
It is. Thank you. Thank you for admitting it afterwards. It's always really good to tell a joke, get a laugh, and then go, that is good.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, what else we got here?
Let's see. The Dallas Cowboys suck and I hate them.
Dallas sucks. Yeah. Oh, fuck it. I have a cousin.
It's really the fan base that bothers me even more. Like,
well,
it's
that's
not
the
even...
thing. I have not a cousin. He's the in-law. He's Casey's cousin's fiance. No, it only works for you now.
All right.
the burden is now passed to you, damn.
I have to get married fast.
Yeah, you do. But no, it was the game on Thanksgiving was Commanders and Cowboys, two teams that I fucking despise purely out of, like, being an Eagles fan.
Yeah, regional hatred.
And yeah, and he's like, you know, he's cheering on because he's a huge Cowboys fan. And I'm just like, this is the worst. Like, I'm just trying to enjoy this fucking lasagna.
That's a good thing they aren't the Redskins anymore, because Cowboys decimating Redskins like that on Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Can't do it. Can't do that.
Yeah, you can't have that anymore.
I will still stand by, though, that they should have kept football team. I think that is
that was great. I loved football team.
Football team.
I was almost a fan. If they went another year, I would have become a football team fan.
Yeah. 100%.
Like, it really took 2 years to come up with the name Commander.
Commander.
Like, well, that's the whole thing, right? Because, like, some guy, like, bought up all the names. So they were like, you either pay me $4 million or you can't be the Bulldogs or the Rockets or, you know, you can't be these things. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, that is true. I did hear somebody was really, because he knew they were going to change it. That's so. That's way to see into the future. Wait, what's very, yeah, that's, very,
to have like, that man's resource.
Yeah, domains are not expensive. Well worth it.
Right, right. But yeah, so I've never really hated the Commanders or the Redskins, the Commanders football team, because like they were never really good enough for me to really be mad. Like,
yeah, that's always
they were good
me,
enough
yeah.
to win the division a few years, like 2015, 2012. I was like, oh, good for them.
Good for them.
I was like, wow, they actually did it.
And the Cowboys, like, Giants,
such a tough time. Yeah.
Yeah. Even the Giants, I mean, I was rooting for them to beat the Patriots both times. You know what I mean? So I was like, I couldn't even be mad at
I couldn't
them.
Do it. I couldn't do it.
You couldn't do it? Really?
I was rooting for nobody in those. And then when they ended the way they did, and it was just kind of like cool, like all-time great endings, I was like, all right, that's fine. Whatever.
I grew up in New England, so I had to despise. Like, to me, like the punk rock dude in me was like, fucking Tom Brady, hate that fucking guy. Bullshit. So I just had to revert to Giants, and then I moved to Philly, and I was like, "Oh no, this is a non-starter."
Yeah,
I didn't have a horse in that race anyway.
Heard that. I think the only time it's really been like mad, where there's been years where they've beaten us to be able to win the division, like 2018.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should have won that game in Dallas. 2014, we lost at home to them for them to win the division.
That was so disappointing.
Those things made me want to punch a wall. Those made me actually want to. You know, I was angry for weeks at the fact that they could hold that over our heads for the whole year.
Yeah.
In 2009, we lost them three times in the playoffs, including one. They beat us like 44-6 in the playoffs at one point, 2009. So there's times I will remember to this day that will always stick with me when they beat us that still makes me angry.
I still go back to the 2000s and late 90s where the Eagles were terrible. But they kept getting in the Cowboys' way, and it was so satisfying. Where nothing good was happening for the Eagles except they were beating the Cowboys sometimes. It was great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The years that we won, those were very sad. Like, we won the, you know, 2017, 2019, last year, you know.
The Tony Romo sitting crying on the field game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. All the Cowboys' misery is my, you know, it's my, my pleasure, satisfaction, my, you know, my livelihood.
It is a fan base thing for me, though, I think, because I'm so annoyed by local Cowboys fans.
And like, yeah, why?
So many of them.
How the fuck are you in this city?
So many of them are like, it's because my dad or my mom is such a big Cowboys fan. And it's like, okay, sure, I'll grant you that you're not a front runner. You're just a second generation front runner. Like, they watched them when they were dominating in the 70s, and that they were from here. Like, they were always from here. Like, they just jumped on the winner and then carried it through generations. So, like,
I wasn't born when they last time they won a Super Bowl. So, like, you know, I always,
wow.
Yeah. My stepbrother's a big Cowboys fan. Like, he wasn't around. Like, right. You don't remember.
Remember the glory days?
Yeah, it's like, it's like as if someone just decided, what's going to piss off the people around me the most?
Oh, yeah. 100% what it is. Cowboys. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's all good branding. America's team is a lie. Whatever. Yeah. You want to spin the wheel? See what we're doing for the second half?
Yeah, let's see what we're talking about.
And we got, fittingly, defeated. So we will be right back to talk about Defeated after a quick break. Hey, I'm Danny.
I'm John.
We host Blanketing Covers, the show where we cover the covers.
Have you ever thought about trying to find every single version of Angel of the Morning or Careless Whispers?
That's an us thing, I think.
Yeah. If that's something that you think you would be into, I think you should definitely check out our show. We think that by listening to every version of a song that has ever been done, you can like gain something new.
Yeah. Each week we do a deep dive through a band's catalog or one specific song. Season 1 is out there now. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. And we're back.
I hope you enjoyed those advertisements. Do we have anything? Because I even think the Anchor ad that we used to do, like, I'm not called Anchor anymore. We pulled that
expired.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Fire.
But
we got to get another show on the network.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna interrupt the asking the guest part to talk real quick about my being defeated. I got a flat tire on the way to propose yesterday.
Ah!
Felt very bad.
Listen, man, it's
I have
all,
to go pick
like,
it up today.
That portion of that, like what you've experienced, is part of the story.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean? Like it's important for you to go through that in game time.
Yeah,
to then create a beautiful and happy life with your partner. I feel like the fact that Casey thought that my phone was stolen or I was cheating on her in a hotel the day I proposed because I had like went to go pick up my parents and drop them at a hotel, and then she looked at my location on my phone and was like, why are you in a hotel near my parents' house and not at work? Like
snooping. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you gotta snoop, you gotta
but anyway,
we need detectives.
Yeah,
very much
so. Michael, what makes you feel defeated?
I feel like we're having this sort of like expectation of me that I'm not able to meet, either the expectation of myself or that I feel like other people have of me that I'm not able to meet. So like, you know, I remember, so back to funny is I remember last year I made it to like the semifinals and like I did the same exact set of, as I did in the quarterfinals, because I crushed in the quarterfinals, and I did the same exact set. And realistically, I just wasn't as polished, wasn't as clean as others. And it's like, you know, I was only like a year in, so eventually I got over it. But for a while, I was like, man, like I really felt like I could have, you know, could have done better. You know,
and then you did.
I did the next year. But you know, it's difficult because like, people always get, you know, better, you know, over time. So it's like you don't, it's not a guarantee that you can make it. Like some semifinals, quarterfinals, like prelims could be like the equivalent of a semifinal sometimes. So it's like,
oh yeah,
really? No,
there's been some like first round ones where it's like, oh, this everybody here could be in the finals, but
yeah,
only three of them are going to move even to the second round.
Like, exactly. So it's that. But I mean, and there's times where like I felt as though like I've done so many other competitions where I felt like I could have done better in that I didn't even come close to winning, or I came in second in again or something like that, you know, where I felt like I could have won because somebody brought more audience than that. And
oh, like, that stuff. Yeah.
That's what happened with 2 years ago or something. Someone like brought 50,000 people.
Mm.
Or a friend of the show, Sean Nelms, who just has a fucking beautiful group of like North Jersey or North Philly family that will come through.
The herd arrives.
Yeah, the Nelms herd. It's nice when it's on your side, but if you're in the same room, you're like, fuck.
Right. Right. But yeah, there's times in like those in comedy realms I can feel defeated. But there's other times where like I remember I moved back with my parents like right after college, shortly after. And like that's not normal for people who went to school that I went to. Like University of Pennsylvania. People usually go to New York, California.
You kickstart your high profile job.
Yeah, immediately after school. And it's like, I remember I was supposed to teach and then I quit that. I was supposed to teach for America. And I was like, I feel like that was some bullshit. That whole thing was bullshit. So I quit that after being like a campus ambassador for them for the whole year. So it felt kind of fucked up. Like I told them, I spent the whole year telling the whole campus, like, you should join this organization. I'm joining it. And then I got so many people to join. I got so many people to do it that wouldn't have otherwise did it. And then I was like, peace. I'm going. I'm not doing this anymore. I don't want to do it. So I did that. And then I was going to do like this talent management thing with this other guy who recruited me to his like label talent management company to work, kind of run things. And I was like, and then that was really bogus. It wasn't making any kind of money. He had no real plan. He just wanted to promote his own artistry and be his own artist. And then I was so committed to this that I was going to be in a studio apartment that I shared with somebody else. Like to save money. Like we were going to be in something. We were going to be in a studio apartment to save money. And that was like the plan, to work out of this little apartment that he had. And then we ended up getting like he ended up getting like evicted. We didn't have enough money for like a deposit anyway. So it wasn't going to work out. And then I ended up moving back to my parents. And I was like, dang, that sucks. Like I didn't think I was going to be like, you know, I have to move back to my parents. Nobody else is moving back with their parents. All my friends, a lot of my friends stayed in Philly. And I was like, dang, I got to move back in. That sucks.
Yeah. But I mean, ultimately, it's really important to always remember that stuff. Like, I mean, I think all of us have experience in that sort of.
I've done it a couple times.
In the feeling, and the initial feeling is this is a setback. This is me taking a step back from my life and what I'm supposed to do. And then as time grows on, I feel like maybe you can, maybe you felt this as well of it's not a step back. It shouldn't feel like all of this is going away now. It's just like you're finding stable ground to build a foundation on.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's like
you need a flat ground to jump on the trampoline.
Right. And I ended up really appreciating it because like a few months later, another setback. I quit the talent management thing. I got into insurance sales, which was like nothing. I ended up paying this money to get these licenses for insurance, and then like I sold nothing. Like, I don't know if you guys have heard the joke. I haven't done it in a while, but the joke about being broke in sales were like, I used to be so broke that like I would walk around, and it really hurt because I would be in, they call the sales, the territory you're in, they call it the field. And like making no money when you're working in the field all day, it felt really ironic. You know what I mean? So it was like, I did that for a couple months. I worked in the field and got no money. Like, and I was like, it was such a scam. It was a pyramid scheme. You know, those multi-level marketing companies.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
They really just get more money from more people joining than actually making services. And the company was bullshit. The company was like, I don't know if you're familiar with them, but it was bullshit. So that was like another.
Thanks for calling them out. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know. If you might.
Let's roll to our sponsor of the show.
if nothing else, this is a new
name. That might need to, I don't know, for legal purposes, that might need to be deleted. But, I was like, I got in that, got no money from it. And then I ended up going into teaching for a little while, which got me like, as a temporary thing. And the pandemic started, and then I actually had chosen to be a long-term sub just because they needed it. And then that's the only way I was going to be able to keep getting paid. Cause it was supposed to be just an in-between thing while I looked for something else, but it was actually ended up being a good experience and allowed me to keep getting paid for the pandemic. And then, ended me to reground myself, and it was good. I felt really good about being with my parents during the pandemic, because being with my folks, because it was just good to have company as opposed to being just on my own.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I wasn't going anywhere anyway. And I was like, I was like, maybe I could just say like, hey, I preempted the pandemic. I was like, hey, I just kind of saw it coming. I just needed to move it in with my parents, even though it was like 6 months before the pandemic started. I just
needed the writing was on the wall. You saw it.
Yeah.
I knew it was coming. So it was
warning us, Michael.
Right. So it was like, so I felt defeated at first, but it ended up being good. And it's like, I moved back with my parents recently, and it's like, it did feel totally different. Cause like this time I wanted to do it. I was like, man, that was like, ooh, I don't have to pay $1,400 a month and all these utilities. I don't have to pay UK. Like, this is great. I actually feel good about it now. Like, I'm like, and I'll eventually move it. I'm not in a position where like I'm stuck and I need to, but it's like, I'll move out eventually. But it's like, this time it's like, oh wow, I don't have to pay rent. I don't have to worry about all this stuff. I'm not focused on all these other things I was focused on before. I get to kind of just, take a step back and just regroup, it feels a lot more, it feels a lot more like, I'm more appreciative of it now.
It definitely sounds like, the prompt of defeated shows how healthy you are with the idea of defeat, because at the end of the day, you are looking at it as like, no, I needed that. Yeah. And I see it as like, there are defeated moments, but there aren't, it's not an end all be all emotion. I feel like in the slog of the feeling of defeat, it feels like you'll never get out of it alive. And for you to see that, like, no, this is part of the journey.
Absolutely.
Super, super healthy understanding of it. It's so refreshing to hear a comedian not just immediately be cynical.
There's plenty of times where I've been cynical. That's why I'm a comedian. It's like that kind of negative attitude, or is like about things, or like about myself, the self-defeating, ideologies that I've held.
Everything,
I feel like, I like think everything still happens for a reason. So, it's like, it's probably, and like for things like funny, it's like, I probably shouldn't have put that much weight. My whole plan was like, all right, I'm just win this and I'm gonna go from there. And I probably shouldn't have put that much weight on.
No, but that confidence is so needed. Like again, it's this. You are a gem amongst other comedians, because it is every other comedian that I've met would be like, well, yeah, no, it's a good opportunity, and then I'll get a tape, and that's good. But also, like, I probably like, no, you went in there and be like, cool, I'm gonna come, I'm gonna win this. And if I don't, I'm gonna come back the next year and prove to them that I'm gonna fucking win this.
Right. So it was like, you know, yeah, they like, it probably was irrational, but you know, the mindset I felt I had was good.
Sometimes irrational is important. Sometimes you need it. You need that person in your corner, at least. I need someone telling me, like, shut the fuck up, you're good at this, go. Like,
your internal delusional yes man. Just
an internal delusional yes man. I'm writing that one down under band names. Hold on.
And then, like, yeah, moving back with the folks is like, when I thought that, oh yeah, this is gonna take off. I was so confident in it back in like June, when I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do this instead of, I'm gonna do this bullshit talent managing people, you know, or label type shit. When you know, and even though it doesn't have any real income, no real plan, I'm gonna make it work, and I'm just gonna make money off of that, and I'm gonna be a mogul. And you know, it's like, you know, I needed a rude awakening, you know, just to be able to kind of see, like, all right, you need that, and then plus I need to realize that it was not my dream, it was somebody else's. So I was like, I feel like it was just a necessary experience.
Oh, that's a big, like, I think for me, feeling defeated a lot is where I'm like, why did I put so much work into this? This is not mine. Like,
right. I mean, because I realized that, well, that's what jobs are. Jobs are somebody else's dream. And it's like, they're just kind of like a means to end for you while you fulfill somebody else's vision. You know, it's just,
I always abided.
Defeated.
Yeah, no, I always abided by the ruling of like, you should never want a dream job. Like,
yeah, I don't dream of working.
Yeah, your job you should not dream of labor. Like, you should dream about the things that you love. And if you love running a business, then okay. But you should never want to, like, I love being a customer service person for IKEA. Like, no, you don't. No, you don't. Something's broken in you.
I need that to not be true. It can't be.
Yeah, man. Like, I've talked about, like, there's some people who feel like I've talked to people about it. Some people will theorize that people like that have no soul. Like, the fact that you can be comfortable, like Papa John's for your whole life, like, like that's scary. Like, you can be comfortable and be like, oh, I'm happy. Never want to see advancement. Never want to see growth. Like, that's
good with delivering pizzas all day. Like, it's important to have those people.
Yeah.
But, like, that should not be your only thing that you do. Like,
I need that person for my emotions. I need them to be a like fresh out of like high school first job person.
Yeah,
that cannot be an old guy who's been there forever.
Yeah, but also, like, I maybe this is just me, my political leaning in, but like, I believe that all of those people should be paid entirely way more money than they are getting paid now, because it's an important job for them to deliver pizzas, and they should be happy where they live. What I'm more saying is that, like, that should not be their only thing that they do. They should be provided time to go art, stand up, to go hiking, go for a run. Like,
hey, stand up is art.
It is barely. The only thing keeping it afloat in the art is improv directly underneath it. Just
improv. Yeah, it could be that.
But yeah, no, absolutely. I love your take on defeated. I really do, because I feel like there's a lot of times when we talk about emotions on the show, we never talk about the solutions or the positive parts of it. We often have a conversation of like, is defeated a positive or a negative? Like, whatever the feeling is that positive or is it negative? How do you take that? And I think most emotions have both to them. But for you to kind of discuss and be like, yeah, no, I feel this way, but it's all in response to this. So, like, it's all in respect. Really, you know, it's sometimes important.
Yeah, there's a lot of situations that I thought of. I remember, like, I used to have a part-time job when I first started comedy. I did the teaching, they substitute teaching, but I also was working at his office during his shorty life. And, like, they gave me way more work than I was supposed to be doing for a part-time job. And it was like, they gave me this really huge assignment that I should have been doing for the whole year, but they pushed it on me at, like, the last minute before, like, I had like maybe like a few weeks to do it, and I was feeling really defeated throughout, thinking that I wouldn't be able to get it done. And then this crazy thing happened where I ran out of hours for like the entire year, in the middle of like February, March, because I only had, supposedly they called me like a $9.99 employee. So like I ran out of hours, and I was like, at that point I was feeling really defeated. But this was a sudden defeated that I was going to get this assignment done, and they were giving me so much more work than I should have been doing. Turned to real relief. I'm like, all right, now you guys got to deal with it.
Now it's over. You're up.
And I'm done. So I'm like, all right, cool. Like I felt really grateful. I was like, all right. At this time, I was like, man, I was like, or maybe I should have been the one to take initiative and start telling them that, oh, I need to be doing this, or I was doing all the things that I could have done wrong, or like, or maybe I should just work faster in this. But they gave me this huge assignment, and then I was like, all right. They realized like they didn't do their due diligence, because they gave me a whole other job that was outside of what my role scope that accounted to those hours.
Yeah.
And like it was giving me so much work, and they had to really kind of see the error of their ways. And I'm like, all right, this allows me to get out and allows them to improve too, because they realized how they were messing up. And I was like, all right, at this time I felt really like down about how I was doing and how things were going and how I was doing so much more work. Suddenly became like a whole, like an enlightening moment for everybody that I'm like, all right, cool.
You know, I have to imagine for them that it was like, oh fuck. Like,
yeah.
We have efficient employee, and we cannot use him anymore.
Yeah,
fuck. Like,
and you're not sticking around because your contract is up. You're like, nah, right. Bye, dude.
Oh yeah,
fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. So like, so you know, I'm not going to work for, you know, for free now. So I was like, I think everything, you know, happens like for the way it should. Like I can't really say I have any, you know, regrets. You know, relationships, I have regrets about those, or you know. But you know, but it's things happen the way they happen, and then you move on from it, you learn from it. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I think beautiful sentiment, and let's see if anyone else shared that sentiment with you. Let's see what the people said online about defeated.
Hey, this is like live for me.
Live audio drop, no big deal.
So we asked the people online what makes them feel defeated, and let's see, first one: whenever I do poorly on a school assignment despite trying my hardest.
Yeah, no, it's always sucks to climb the fucking mountain only to find out like, no, I did it, you did all the wrong problems.
Yeah, I'm still,
I have
mad
never
about
tried
this
my hardest.
I remember it wasn't in the rubric that I had to color, but I got like a 50% for this project I work hard on because I didn't color in eighth grade. And I'm still mad about that.
Oh, I got one. It was like an extra credit assignment. And it was just like, you had to like print out these blocks and then arrange them to match whatever was in the book. And there was apparently two ways to do it. And I found both ways, and I like taped it, sent in the one. And the teacher didn't give me credit because somebody else did it the other way, and the other way was more correct. And I was
more
like, it can't be more correct. This matches the thing I was told to match. Just because theirs is like the one that the book says is the answer doesn't mean that mine's incorrect. And I had to fight a teacher in fifth grade to be like, what are you talking about?
Sometimes teachers have too much autonomy, because like I should have went to like a higher power and be like, there's no way this is a huge test grade from this project. There's no way this is going to keep me from almost barely getting to see. I'm like, there's no way, you know, and I realized that teachers have a little too much power. You know, they could just make up everything and control the grade. It's all up to them. A lot of times.
Yeah, they should get paid less.
I mean, that is the weird thing about that like a teacher can have a grudge and that could ruin like the academic future of a child.
Yeah,
right.
It's gonna happen.
Look at me, I'm on a podcast right now. That's someone's fault.
Yeah.
It's not mine. Doug Scholl.
Right.
Listener of this show, because we had his friend on a couple of years ago. You're still listening. Hi. You're my favorite English teacher. I did not mean.
All right. The other day, I got a rejection email from a place I applied, and then an hour later, got a "we're hiring for these jobs" email from the same place.
Not good enough.
I hate that. That makes me feel so bad.
That sucks.
So wait, they emailed. So you got a rejection. So like,
they applied, got rejected, and then the company was like, "We're still hiring for these jobs." So like, they didn't. Not only did they not pick her, they didn't like have a better candidate. They just didn't pick her.
Yeah, they were
I was like,
anyone but her.
Them. It's not. I'm not gendering this unknown entity.
Them.
That's crazy.
This person.
No one can find out who.
Yeah, I mean, hey, job, that's really, because like job, sometimes the jobs, like they won't even get back to you sometimes. You'll just, just ghost. They ghost. They'll ghost you in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You don't even
the
know.
The fact that they were like, oh my God, we need people. We just desperately need people. We need the people. Yeah. And then they don't call you back. They want you to call, like they want you to work for it. Right? You need
me.
That's
the thing. They'll be in your DM. They'll be in your LinkedIn DMs. They'll be in your Handshake or whatever employer platform DMs, telling you they are making these personalized messages that make it seem like they're really interested in you. And then you apply, and then you still get rejected. I'm like, I only applied because you reached out to me.
You told me this.
Like, I wouldn't have even known about you if you didn't reach out. So how am I getting rejected when you reached out to me personally, and I'm still not good enough somehow? Like that's
I just love the hunt. That's it.
It's just what's the name of that book?
I don't know.
Where the guy goes to an island, and then he's being hunted by
Treasure Island. No, Treasure Most Dangerous Island. Game.
Most Dangerous Game. Like that's all the job market is. It's the Most Dangerous Game. It's a bunch of rich people hunting you for sport, and then for no reward. Just they're like, you're not being harvested for meat. You're not for survival. You are just trophies.
No, I will not pay you.
Giant musket, big flowy pants.
Yeah, this is a danger. Yeah, and it's that's a whole thing of job. It's like a whole job in itself, trying to look for one.
Yeah,
that's why I've stopped.
I want to stop. Really, I want to quit. I want to quit my job, and then I gotta find another one.
Nah, man, just be a comedian.
I could do that.
Do it. It's tough, but I think if anyone's got the conscience and the resolve to do it, Michael Beavers.
Yeah, I mean,
Mike Beaver gonna go out kill.
Yeah, I got because now I've realized like because I haven't ever I've never actually looked or like asked to be on a show in my whole time doing comedy. Like I've only been like, oh, I'm only gonna let people reach out to me if they want me, and it's like, and realistically, like, and there's times where like I've done things where like I do the form, you know, I do like a form or something where I don't have to ask, you know, like for next line and things, but like I feel like. I realize it's kind of like a squeaky wheel against the oil. All you gotta do is ask. So I gotta start doing that.
Yeah.
You
know, I have it hung on my wall because I treat it as like a thing that I'm really, really proud of. Is for a while I was just, you know, you bounce around, you meet people, they go, hey, we're doing a show this day, you should come by it. But I really wanted to do Tattooed Momedy. I thought that was a cool venue, a cool show. I really liked it. And I worked up the courage to like message the person running it was like, hey, I don't know the correct way to do this, but I really love your show and I would love to be a part of it. Would you like, can I send you a tape? Like, I tried to be very professional with it and was like, can I send you a tape? These are my peers. I know these people. And I was like, let me do this as professional as possible.
As someone like, who books a lot of stuff, it goes a long way. If you're just like, here, this is where you watch it, right here. This is the thing. I'm probably going to watch it. If I have to do another step, I probably won't watch it.
And it's also just like, you know, not asking your buddy, but I was like, listen, I know that you're running you're running a business here. You're running a thing. Like, I want to treat it as professional as you are.
Yeah.
And I got on the poster and I have this like 11 by 17 Xeroxed poster. Like it is not a high grade, high glossy poster, but it's a really cool lineup and my name's right on the bottom and it's very, very cool for me. And that's the first show that I ever asked to be on. And like, it didn't happen immediately, but because of that, I was able to do it. And it's such a different experience to like, finally go out and be like, oh, this is the world I want to be in. Okay. Start asking.
Be on that show too.
It's a cool show. At least it was back in the day. I was in it before COVID. I'm sure it's very, very similar.
I've done Tattoo Moms too, next in line, but it was still a vibe. So I want to give actually Tattoo Momedy. So
yeah. Who was on that one?
You always remember your first book or like one of your first book experience. Like you always remember that.
Oh, I still remember my first one.
Yeah. It was, the lineup was Keen Cobb, Sandra D, Ellie Lightfoot, Rachel Fogletto, and me, and someone named Zach Sims, who I don't know. I think they were out of town.
Yeah, two people I don't. Zach Sims and somebody else is who I don't. Who was a
Ellie Lightfoot?
Yeah,
Ellie Lightfoot was around for a while. I don't know if they're still doing comedy though.
Haven't seen Ellie in a minute.
Well, that's a good lineup.
Yeah, it's a really fun lineup. It's got like a little alien on it. I think it was designed by Sarah Bell. The poster. Nice. So it's just something cool to think about. It's like I'm so tired of not like enjoying the shit that you're doing. Like, it seems like for so often comedians are just like, yeah, I got this, no big deal. Like, oh yeah, it's no big deal, man. Yeah.
It's so cool. It's
fucking
so cool.
Cool to do cool shit. Just let the joy happen. Stop trying to be too cool. I'd like to watch we'll get to another one in just a second, but like, just to carry on that thing, I've been watching, someone's been uploading episodes of 120 minutes on YouTube, like old episodes of 120 minutes. And every artist and guest host doesn't want to be there, or at least doesn't feel like it. And it's just this time in the 90s where everyone was just like,
you couldn't enjoy things in the 90s.
Yeah, you were just like, let's be as aloof as fucking possible. I can't believe I'm here. That's my Jay Masick's impression. You like it? Sounds just like him.
So our next one, we have, I'll combine a couple of them because they're basically saying the same thing. It's the Patriots and the Jets this year.
Yeah. I'm going to say something that's unpopular. I live next to MetLife Stadium. I know, very unpopular. So I live within the vicinity of two major sports teams, Jets and the Giants. I'm an Eagles fan, 100%. Mm. When the Jets beat the Eagles, I was not mad. I just like rooting for the little guy, and it's nice to see a moment like that happen. And then immediately afterwards, they were like, "And we will never do anything again."
Yeah, we're actually done. We peaked for the season.
Okay. That was the high, that's when you thought, "Oh, the Jets could really do something." They beat the Eagles, they beat an undefeated team.
Yeah, they beat they beat the Bills and the Eagles this season.
They beat the Bills. They beat the Eagles. They almost beat. That was when you thought, like, "Oh, their defense could really," because like that's what it was. Their defense, their offense didn't do anything. Absolutely nothing.
Oh, nothing at all.
You know, so it was like, I don't know. I really is disappointed that Aaron Rodgers didn't get to, because like what he would have potentially been able to do was really exciting. They had him on so many primetime games.
Oh, that sense of defeat when he went down, I felt it.
Yeah. Like, everyone did. And it was like, if you watch the playback of it, you see Peyton and Eli Manning talking to each other and they go, "Who do they have?" And they go, "Zach Wilson."
Goes,
they still have him? Like, they even thought, like, "Nah, fuck this guy. I didn't know they even had him on the roster."
I think Carson Wentz would have done better. I'm a Carson Wentz apologist. I think
he's kind of a shithead, but I get it. I think personality-wise.
See, I don't even know. I mean, I hear that. I hear the rumors, but I don't know. I never really got that sense from. I mean, 2020 for the Eagles, yeah, I feel like he was like that. He was kind of a little bitter.
A little pouty little motherfucker.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, 2017 through 2019, I feel like he was really good. 2021 with the Colts, I feel like he was not the problem. I feel like he could.
No, the quarterback is never the problem with the Colts.
I don't know, man. He had a couple games where he was the problem, but overall, he had good statistics. He had a couple bad games, but I don't think he was the reason why. I think it was more coaching than anything.
I was listening to the reason why I'm like iffy on Carson Wentz is I was listening to New Heights, the Travis Jason Kelce podcast, and they were talking about like gifts that, I guess I didn't realize this, but your quarterback will buy the team gifts.
They'll buy the offensive line and a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, Jason Kelce has this beautiful Louis Vuitton duffel bag that he shows up in like a hoodie and sweatpants too for every game, but it's like, you know, the grubbiest of clothes with what, like a $3,000 duffel bag or something. Carson Wentz bought everyone a shotgun on the O-line.
Yep. That is
like,
true.
That is his gift to the O-line. They're like, "Oh, he's a shotgunner from North Dakota."
Yeah, he's a hyper religious hunting fanatic.
Jesus Christ.
He's like a weirdo religion too. He's like it's Christian, but it's like one of the weird ones where like you have to buy in all the way and you have to try to like actively convert people. One of those sects of Christianity.
Yeah, I don't
Jehovah Witness, but like
no, it's not that, but it is very similar in practice. I forget what it's
like. So like the white, let's see.
Yes, very much that.
Mormon.
That's not a different. That's not Christianity. I don't think. Is that Christianity?
Well, he found Jesus.
It's the Jesus of Latter-day Saints.
Jesus of Latter-day Saints.
Think of it like a multiverse.
Yeah.
It's Jesus in 616, and there's Jesus in 868.
Yeah. I'll do a couple more here. Well, one more and then the enemy showed up.
Oh, fuck.
So every strategy game ever, chess, checkers, Othello, poker, Candyland, you name it.
Candyland's a strategy game?
I mean
you pick those colors.
I haven't played Candyland in a minute, but I play a lot of like competitive games with women, you know, on like, or you know, like
stop calling dating competitive games with women.
I won this date.
Oh yeah, you came more than me. I won.
That's a victory for both of us.
Right.
Anytime you can leave a date going, you're welcome.
I think we tied.
But no, like chess, check, Connect Four is big. I'm big on Connect Four. Like women, I don't lose. I rarely ever lose in Connect Four.
I played a game of Connect Four the other day where me and the guy I was playing were so like kind of focused on setting up our strategy that I won by accident. And then like 10 moves later, somebody else came up to the board and was like, "Why are you guys still playing?" It's like, oh shit, I won.
Interesting.
Yeah, all right.
No, I'm good at that. Games, you know, all those things.
Sure. Let's get this over with, Dan. Mike, we have a enemy of the show who likes to
he previously mentioned Glenn Tickle.
Oh yeah.
Oh shit.
He shows up regularly with comments like this. One time my feet got chopped off by Skeletor or whatever. I'm in codeine cough syrup right now, baby. Love the show, homies.
Thanks, Glenn.
Normally he'll put the button on it.
Isn't
and say,
he in Budapest?
You know, defeated.
You know, when you said the enemy, I thought that you were talking about, like, I thought that was like a code name for your fiance or your wife. I don't know. I was like, that's an interesting name that you have for them. I was like,
we love them both. They are good people. But no,
can't
Glenn
say the
Tickle,
same about Glenn.
Glenn Tickle is not our wife.
Make that t-shirt.
Yeah. Glenn Tickle is not our wife. Isn't he in Budapest, or did he just buy the ticket to Budapest?
I don't know if he's there yet, but he is going if he's not there yet.
He's going to perform his special in Hungary.
Wow.
And that's great. Cool. Good for him. But if he's sipping down codeine, he's either made a strong life choice or he is not feeling good.
Yeah. I would love it if he was just doing that casually.
I did that the other day. I was feeling a little under the weather and I finished the NyQuil, but there was like, you know, NyQuil's fairly viscous and thick. So I just like filled it with water and shook it. So I just had like a little NyQuil light drink to polish off the rest of it. And it was good. And I slept really well. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for submitting. And thank you, Michael Beavers, for coming on the show and being so vulnerable with us and talking with us and looking so good in that robe.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Thank you so much. We'll be back next week to talk about Mowage.
Mowage.
Which will be the emotion, maybe. I don't know. Dan, I know I usually make a joke about this, but I'm very happy for you, and I love you very much.
Shut up.
I can't wait to get shit hammered at your wedding.
Oh, it's going to be a blast.
That's it. See you next week. Bye, all.
Bye. And we're back.
I hope you enjoyed those advertisements. Do we have anything? Because I even think the anchor ad that we used to do, like, I'm not called anchor anymore. We pulled
that expired.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Fire.
But
we got to get another show on the network.
Yeah. I'm gonna interrupt the asking the guest part to talk real quick about my being defeated. I got a flat tire on the way to propose yesterday.
Ah!
Felt very bad.
Listen, man,
it up today.
That portion of that, like what you've experienced, is part of the story.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's important for you to go through that in game time.
Yeah.
To then create a beautiful and happy life with your partner. I feel like the fact that Casey thought that my phone was stolen or I was cheating on her in a hotel the day I proposed because I had like went to go pick up my parents and drop them at a hotel, and then she looked at my location on my phone and was like, "Why are you in a hotel near my parents' house and not at work?" Like
snooping. I like
yeah
it.
gotta snoop. You gotta.
But anyway.
Great detective.
Yeah.
Very much.
So, Michael, what makes you feel defeated?
I feel like we're having this sort of like expectation of me that I'm not able to meet, either the expectation of myself or that I feel like other people have of me that I'm not able to meet. So like, you know, I remember, so back to funny is I remember last year I made it to like the semifinals and like I did the same exact set of, as I did in the quarterfinals because I crushed in the quarterfinals and I did the same exact set. And realistically, I just wasn't as polished, wasn't as clean as others. And it was like, you know, I was only like a year in. So eventually I got over it. But for a while, I was like, man, like I really felt like I could have, you know, could have done better. You know,
and then I
did the next year, but you know, it's difficult because people always get, you know, better, you know, over time. So it's like, you don't, it's not a guarantee that you can make it. Like some semifinals, quarterfinals, like prelims could be like equivalent of a semifinal sometimes. So it's like,
oh yeah,
really? No,
there's been some like first round ones where it's like, oh, this, everybody here could be in the finals, but
yeah,
only three of them are going to move only even three to the second round.
Like, exactly. So is that, but I mean, and there's times where like, I felt as though, like I've done so many other competitions where I felt like I could have done better in that I didn't even come close to winning, or I came in second in again or something like that, you know, where I felt like I could have won because somebody brought more audience in that.
And oh, like, that stuff. Impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happened with, 2 years ago or something. Someone like brought 50,000 people.
Mm.
Or friend of the show, Sean Nelms, who just has a fucking beautiful group of like North Jersey or North Philly family,
yeah,
that will come through.
The herd arrives.
Yeah, the Nelms herd. It's nice when it's on your side, but if you're in the same room, you're like, fuck.
Right. Right. But yeah, there's times in like those in comedy realms I can feel defeated. But there's other times where like I remember I moved back with my parents like right after college, shortly after. And like that's not normal for people who went to school that I went to, like University of Pennsylvania. People usually go to New York, California.
You kickstart your high profile job.
Yeah, immediately after school, and it's like I remember I was supposed to teach, and then I quit that. I was supposed to teach for America, and I was like, I feel like that was some bullshit. That whole thing was bullshit. So I quit that after being like a campus ambassador for them for the whole year, which felt kind of fucked up. Like I told him, I spent the whole year telling the whole campus, like, you should join this organization. I'm joining it. And then I got so many people to join. I got so many people to do it that wouldn't have otherwise did it. And then I was like, peace. I'm going. I'm not doing this anymore. I don't want to do it. So I did that. And then I was going to do like this talent management thing with this other guy who recruited me to his like label talent management company to work, kind of run things. And I was like, and then that was really bogus. It wasn't making any kind of money. He had no real plan. He just wanted to promote his own artistry and be his own artist. And then I was so committed to this that I was going to be in a studio apartment that I shared with somebody else, like to save money. Like we were going to be in a studio apartment to save money. And that was like the plan, to work out of this little apartment that he had. And then we ended up getting like he ended up getting like evicted. We didn't have enough money for like a deposit anyway, so it wasn't gonna work out. And then I moved back to my parents, and I was like, dang, that sucks. Like, I didn't think I was gonna be like, you know, I have to move back to my parents. Nobody else is moving back with their parents. A lot of my friends just stayed in Philly, and I was like, dang, I gotta move back in. That sucks.
Yeah, but I mean, ultimately, it's really important to always remember that stuff. Like, I mean, I think all of us have experience in that yeah, sort of.
I've done it a couple of times.
In the feeling, and the initial feeling is, this is a setback. This is me taking a step back from my life and what I'm supposed to do. And then, as time goes on, I feel like maybe you can, maybe you felt this as well. Of, it's not a step back. It shouldn't feel like all of this is going away now. It's just like you're finding stable ground to build a foundation on.
Exactly. And it's like
you need a flat ground to jump on the trampoline,
right? And I ended up really appreciating it, because like a few months later, another setback. I quit the talent management thing. I got into insurance sales, which was not like I ended up paying this money to get these licenses for insurance, and then like I sold nothing. Like, I don't know if you guys have heard the joke. I haven't done it in a while, but the joke about being broke in sales, where like I used to be so broke that like I really like I couldn't even, I would walk around and it really hurt because I would be in, they call the sales, you know, the territory you're in, they call it the field. And like being, making no money when you're working in the field all day, it felt really ironic. You know what I mean? So it was like, I did that for a couple months. I worked in the field and got no money. Like, and I was like, it was such a scam. It was a pyramid scheme. You know, those multi-level marketing companies.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
You know, they really just get more money from more people joining than actually making services. And the company was bullshit. The company was like, I don't know if you're familiar with them, but it was bullshit. So that was like another.
Thanks for calling them out. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you might.
Let's roll to our sponsor of the show.
If nothing else, this is a name.
I don't know, for legal purposes, that might need to be deleted. But, I was like, I got in that, got no money from it. And then I ended up going into teaching for a little while, which got me like, you know, just as a temporary thing. And the pandemic started. And then I actually had chosen to be a long-term sub just because they needed it. And then that's the only way I was going to be able to keep getting paid. Cause it was supposed to be just an in-between thing while I looked for something else, but it was actually ended up being a good experience and allowed me to keep getting paid for the pandemic. And then, to reground myself. And it was good. I felt really good about being with my parents during the pandemic, you know, because like, you know, being with my folks, because like, you know, it was just good to have company as opposed to being just on my own.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Just like, you know, I wasn't going anywhere anyway. And I was like, maybe I could just say like, hey, I preempted the pandemic. I was like, hey, I just kind of saw it coming. I just needed to move it in with my parents, even though it was like 6 months before the pandemic started. I just needed
the writing was on the wall. You saw it.
Yeah.
I knew it was coming. So it was.
Thanks for warning us, Michael.
Right. So it was like, so I felt defeated at first, but it ended up being good. And it's like, I moved back with my parents recently, and it's like, it did feel totally different. Cause like this time I wanted to do it. I was like, man, I was like, ooh, I don't have to pay $1,400 a month and all these utilities. I don't have to pay UK. Like, this is great. I actually feel good about it now. Like, I'm like, and I'll eventually move it. I'm not in a position where like I'm stuck and I need to, but it's like, I'll move out eventually. But it's like, this time it's like, oh wow, I don't have to pay rent. I don't have to worry about all this stuff. I'm not focused on all these other things I was focused on before. You know, I get to kind of just, you know, take a step back and just regroup, you know, it feels a lot more like, I'm more appreciative of it now. You know?
It definitely sounds like, the prompt of defeated shows how healthy you are with the idea of defeat, because at the end of the day, you are looking at it as like, no, I needed that.
Yeah.
And I see it as like, there are defeated moments, but there aren't, it's not an end all be all emotion. I feel like in the slog of the feeling of defeat, it feels like you'll never get out of it alive. And for you to see that, like, no, this is part of the journey.
Absolutely.
Super, super healthy understanding of it. It's so refreshing to hear a comedian not just immediately be cynical.
There's plenty of times where I've been cynical. That's why I'm a comedian. It's like that kind of negative attitude, or is like about things, or like about myself. You know that the self defeating ideology that I've held. I feel like everything still happens for a reason. So, you know, it's like, it's probably, and like for things like funny, it's like, I probably shouldn't have put that much weight. My whole plan was like, all right, I'm just win this and I'm gonna go from there. And I probably shouldn't have put that much weight on.
That confidence is so needed. Like, again, it's this, you are a gem amongst other comedians, because it is. Every other comedian that I've met would be like, well, yeah, no, it's a good opportunity, and then I'll get a tape, and that's good. But also, like, I probably, like, no, you went in there and be like, cool, I'm going to come, I'm going to win this. And if I don't, I'm going to come back the next year and prove to them that I'm going to fucking win this.
Right. So it was like, you know, it probably was irrational, but, you know, the mindset I felt I had was good.
Sometimes irrational is important. Sometimes you need it. You need that person in your corner, at least. I need someone telling me, like, shut the fuck up, you're good at this, go. Like,
your internal delusional yes man.
An internal delusional
yes man.
I'm writing that one down under band names. Hold on.
And then like, yeah, moving back with the folks is like, when I thought that, oh yeah, this is gonna take off. I was so confident in it back in like June, when I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do this instead of, I'm gonna do this bullshit talent management managing people, you know, or label type shit when you know, and even though it doesn't have any real income, no real plan, I'm gonna make it work and I'm just gonna make money off of that and I'm gonna be a mogul. And, you know, it's like, you know, I needed a rude awakening, you know, just to be able to kind of see like, all right, you need that. And then plus I need to realize that it was not my dream or somebody else's. I was like, I feel like it was just totally just a necessary experience.
Oh, that's a big, like, I think for me, feeling defeated a lot is where I'm like, why did I put so much work into this? This is not mine. Like,
right. I mean, because I realized that, well, that's what jobs are. Jobs are somebody else's dream. And it's like, they're just kind of like a means to end for you while you fulfill somebody else's vision. You know, it's just,
I always abided. Yeah, no, I always abided by the ruling of like, you should never want a dream job. Like,
yeah, I don't dream of working.
Yeah, your job should, you should not dream of labor. Like, you should dream about the things that you love. And if you love running a business, then okay. But you should never want to, like, I love being a customer service person for IKEA. Like, no, you don't. No, you don't. Something's broken in you.
I need that to not be true. It can't be.
Yeah, man. Like, I've talked about, like, there's some people who feel like I've talked to people about it. Some people will theorize that people like that have no soul. Like, the fact that you can be comfortable, like Papa John's for your whole life, like, like that's scary. Like, you can be comfortable and be like, oh, I'm happy. You never want to see advancement. Never want to see growth. Like, that's
good with delivering pizzas all day. Like, it's important to have those people.
Yeah.
But, like, that should not be your only thing that you do. Like,
I need that person for my emotions. I need them to be a fresh out of high school first job person.
Yeah.
That cannot be an old guy who's been there forever.
Yeah. But also, like, I maybe this is just me, put my political leaning in, but like, I believe that all of those people should be paid entirely way more money than they are getting paid now, because it's an important job for them to deliver pizzas and they should be happy where they live. I what I'm more saying is that, like, that should not be their only thing that they do. They should be provided time to go art, stand up, to go hiking, go for a run. Like,
hey, stand up is art.
It is barely. The only thing keeping it afloat in the art is improv directly underneath it. Just
improv. Yeah, it could be that.
But yeah, no, absolutely. I love your take on defeated. I really do, because I feel like there's a lot of times when we talk about emotions on the show, we never talk about the solutions or the positive parts of it. We often have a conversation of like, is defeated a positive or a negative? Like, whatever the feeling is that positive or is it negative? How do you take that? And I think most emotions have both to them. But for you to kind of discuss and be like, yeah, no, I feel this way, but it's all in response to this. So like, it's all in respect. Really, you know, it's sometimes important.
Yeah, there's a lot of the situations that I thought of. I remember, like, I used to have a part-time job when I first started comedy. I did the teaching, they substitute teaching, but I also was working at his office, attorney, sorority life. And like, they gave me way more work than I was supposed to be doing for a part-time job. And it was like, they gave me this really huge assignment that I should have been doing for the whole year, but they pushed it on me at like the last minute before, like I had like maybe like a few weeks to do it. And I was feeling really defeated throughout, thinking that I wouldn't be able to get it done. And then this crazy thing happened where I ran out of hours for like the entire year in the middle of like February, March, because I only had, supposedly they called me like a 999 employee, so like I ran out of hours. And I was like, at that point I was feeling really defeated, but this was defeated that I was going to get this assignment done, and they were giving me so much more work than I should have been doing. Turned to real relief. I'm like, all right, now you guys got to deal with it.
Now it's over, you're up.
And I'm done. So I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I felt really grateful. I was like, all right, at this time I was like, man, I was like, or maybe I should have been wanting to take initiative and start telling them that, oh, I need to be doing this, or I was doing all the things that I could have done wrong, or like, or maybe I should just work faster in this. But they gave me this huge assignment, and then I was like, all right. They realized like they didn't do their due diligence, because they gave me a whole other job that was outside of what my role scope that accounted to those hours.
Yeah.
And like, it was giving me so much work, and they had to really kind of see the error of their ways. I'm like, all right, this allows me to get out and allows them to improve too, because they realized how they were messing up. And I was like, all right. At this time, I felt really like down about how I was doing and how things were going and how I was doing so much more work. Suddenly became like a whole, like an enlightening moment for everybody that I'm like, all right, cool.
You know, yeah, I have to imagine for them that it was like, oh fuck. Like,
yeah.
We have this efficient employee and we cannot use him anymore.
Yeah.
Fuck. Like,
and yeah, and you're not, and you're not sticking around because your contract is up. You're like, nah, bye, dude.
Oh yeah,
fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. So like, so you know, I'm not gonna work for, you know, for free now. So I was like,
no,
so yeah, so yeah, that was like, so I think everything, you know, happens like for the way it's done. Like, I can't really say I have any, you know, regrets, you know, relationships. I have regrets about those, or you know, but you know, but it's, things happen before, things happen the way they happen, and then you move on from it, you learn from it. Yeah,
yeah, 100%. Well, I think beautiful sentiment, and let's see if anyone else shared that sentiment with you. Let's see what the people said online about Defeated.
Oh, this is like live for me.
Five audio drop, no big deal.
So we asked the people online what makes them feel defeated. And let's see, first one, whenever I do poorly on a school assignment, despite trying my hardest.
Yeah, no, it's always sucks to climb the fucking mountain only to find out like, no, I did it. You did all the wrong problems.
Yeah, I'm still mad about this assignment. I remember it wasn't in the rubric that I had to color, but I got like a 50% for this project I worked hard on because I didn't color in eighth grade. And I'm still mad about that.
Oh, I got one. It was like an extra credit assignment. And it was just like, you had to like print out these blocks and then arrange them to match whatever was in the book. And there was apparently two ways to do it. And I found both ways and I like taped it, sent in the one, and the teacher didn't give me credit because somebody else did it the other way. And the other way was more correct. And I was
more
like, it can't be more correct. This matches the thing I was told to match. Just because theirs is like the one that the book says is the answer doesn't mean that mine's incorrect. And I had to fight a teacher in fifth grade to be like, what are you talking about?
Sometimes teachers have too much autonomy. Because like, I should have went to like a higher power and be like, there's no way this is going to be this is a huge test grade from this project. There's no way this is going to keep me from almost barely getting the seat. I'm like, there's no way, you know. And I realized that teachers have a little too much power. You know, they could just make up everything and control your grade. It's all up to them a lot of times.
Yeah, they should get paid less.
I mean, that is the weird thing about that like a teacher can have a grudge and that could ruin like the academic future of a child.
Yeah,
right.
Teachers are human. It's gonna happen.
Look at me, I'm on a podcast right now. That's someone's fault.
Yeah.
It's not mine. Doug Scholl,
right?
Listener of this show because we had his friend on a couple of years ago. You're still listening. Hi, you're my favorite English teacher. I do not mean.
All right. The other day, I got a rejection email from a place I applied, and then an hour later, got a "we're hiring for these jobs" email from the same place.
Not good enough.
I hate that. That makes me feel so bad.
That sucks.
So wait, they emailed. So you got a rejection email. So like.
They applied, got rejected, and then the company was like, we're still hiring for these jobs. So like they didn't, not only did they not pick her, they didn't like have a better candidate, they just didn't pick her.
Yeah, they were right. Like,
I was like,
them, anyone but her.
Them. It's not, I'm not gendering this unknown entity.
Them.
That's crazy.
This person.
No one can find out who.
Yeah, I mean,
great job. That's really, because like jobs, sometimes the jobs, like they won't even get back to you. Sometimes they'll ghost you in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
you don't even
the
know.
The fact that they were like, oh my god, we need people. We just desperately need people. We need the people, and then they don't call you back. They want you to call. Like they want you to work for it. Right? You need
that's
me.
You see, that's the thing. They'll be in your DM. They'll be in your LinkedIn DMs. They'll be in your Handshake or whatever employer platform DMs, telling you they are making these personalized messages that make it seem like they're really interested in you. And then you apply, and then you still get rejected. I'm like, I only applied because you reached out to me.
You told me this.
Like, I wouldn't have even known about you if you didn't reach out. So how am I getting rejected when you reached out to me personally, and I'm still not good enough somehow? Like that's
they just love the hunt. That's it.
It's just what's the name of that book?
I don't know.
Where the guy goes to an island and then he's being hunted by
Treasure
rich
Island. No, Treasure Most Dangerous Island. Game.
Most Dangerous Game. Like, that's all the job market is. It's the Most Dangerous Game. It's a bunch of rich people hunting you for sport and then for no reward. Just they're like, yeah. you're not being harvested for meat. You're not for survival. You are just trophies.
No, I will not pay you.
Giant musket, big flowy pants.
Yeah, this is a danger. Yeah. And it's that's a whole thing of job. It's like a whole, that's a whole job in itself, trying to look for one.
Yeah.
That's why I've stopped.
I want to stop, really. I want to quit my job, and then I got to find another one.
No, man, just be a comedian.
I could do that.
Do it. It's tough, but I think if anyone's got the conscience and the resolve to do it, Michael Beavers.
Yeah, I mean,
Michael Beaver gonna go out kill.
Yeah, I got because now I realize, like, because I've never actually looked or like asked to be on a show in my whole time doing comedy. Like, I've only been like, oh, I'm only gonna let people reach out to me if they want me, and it's like, and realistically. Like, and there's times where, like, I've done things where, like, I do the form, you know, I do like a form or something where I don't have to ask, you know, like for next line and things. But, like, I feel like every time we meet, I realize it's kind of like a squeaky wheel against the oil. All you got to do is ask. So I got to start doing that.
Yeah.
You
know, no, I have it hung on my wall because I treat it as like a thing that I'm really, really proud of. Is for a while, I was just, you know, you bounce around, you meet people, they go, hey, we're doing a show this day, you should come by it. But I really wanted to do Tattooed Momedy. I thought that was a cool venue, a cool show. I really liked it. And I worked up the courage to like message the person running it and was like, hey, I don't know the correct way to do this, but I really love your show and I would love to be a part of it. Would you like, can I send you a tape? Like, I tried to be very professional with it and was like, can I send you a tape? These are my peers. I know these people. And I was like, let me do this as professional as possible.
As someone who books a lot of stuff, it goes a long way. If you're just like, here, this is where you watch it, right here. This is the thing. I'm probably going to watch it. If I have to do another step, I probably won't watch it.
Yeah. And it's also just like, you know, not asking your buddy, but I was like, listen, I know that you're running you're running a business here. You're running a thing. Like, I want to treat it as professional as you are.
Yeah.
And I got on the poster and I have this like 11 by 17. Xeroxed poster. Like, it is not a high grade, high glossy poster, but it's a really cool lineup and my name's right on the bottom and it's very, very cool for me. And that's the first show that I ever asked to be on. And like, it didn't happen immediately, but because of that, I was able to do it. And it's such a different experience to like,
yeah,
finally go out and be like, oh, this is the world I want to be in. Okay, start asking.
On that show too.
It's a cool show. At least it was back in the day. I was in it before COVID. I'm sure it's very, very similar.
I've done Tattooed Moms too, next in line, but it was still a vibe. So I want to give actually Tattooed Momedy. So
yeah, who was on that one?
Always remember your first book or like one of your first book experience. Like, you always remember that.
Oh, I still remember my first one.
It was the lineup was Keen Cobb, Sandra D, Ellie Lightfoot, Rachel Fogletto, and me, and someone named Zach Sims, who I don't know. I think they were out of town.
Yeah, two people I don't. Zach Sims and somebody else is who I don't. Who was a
Ellie Lightfoot?
Yeah,
Ellie Lightfoot was around for a while. I don't know if they're still doing comedy though.
Haven't seen Ellie in a minute.
Well, that's a good lineup.
Yeah, it's a really fun lineup. It's got like a little alien on it. I think it was designed by Sarah Bell, the poster.
Oh, nice.
So it's just something cool to think about. It's like, I'm so tired of not like enjoying the shit that you're doing. Like, it seems like for so often comedians are just like, yeah, I got this, no big deal. Like, oh yeah, it's no big deal, man. Yeah.
It's so cool. It's so
fucking cool to do cool shit. Just let the joy happen. Stop trying to be too cool. I'd like to watch, we'll get to another one in just a second, but like, just to carry on that thing. I've been watching, someone's been uploading episodes of 120 minutes on YouTube, like old episodes of 120 minutes. And every artist and guest host doesn't want to be there, or at least doesn't feel like it. And it's just this time in the 90s where everyone was just like,
you couldn't enjoy things in the
90s. You were just like, let's be as aloof as fucking possible. I can't believe I'm here. That's my Jay Massix impression. You like it? Sounds just like him.
So our next one, we have I'll combine a couple of them because they're basically saying the same thing. It's the Patriots and the Jets this year.
Yeah. I'm gonna say something that's unpopular. I live next to MetLife Stadium. I know, very unpopular. So I live within the vicinity of two major sports teams, Jets and the Giants. I'm an Eagles fan, 100%. Mm. When the Jets beat the Eagles, I was not mad. I just like rooting for the little guy, and it's nice to see a moment like that happen. And then immediately afterwards, they're like, and we will never do anything again.
Yeah, we're actually done. We peaked for the season.
Okay. That's when you thought, oh, the Jets could really do something. They beat the undefeated team.
Didn't they beat the Bills and the Eagles this season?
They beat the Bills. They beat the Eagles. They almost beat. That was when you thought, like, oh, their defense could really, because like that's what it was. Their defense, their offense didn't do anything. Absolutely nothing.
Oh, nothing at all.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was like, I don't know. I really is disappointed that Aaron Rodgers didn't get to, because like what he would have potentially been able to do was really exciting. They had him on so many primetime games.
Oh, that sense of defeat when he went down, I felt it.
Yeah, like, everyone did. It was like, if you watch the playback of it, you see Peyton and Eli Manning talking to each other, and they go, "Who do they have?" And they go, "Zach Wilson."
Zach Wilson.
They still have him? Like, they even thought, like, "Nah, fuck this guy." I didn't know they even had him on the roster.
I think Carson Wentz would have done better. I'm a Carson Wentz apologist. I think
he's kind of a shithead, but I get it. Personality-wise.
See, I don't even know. I mean, I hear that. I hear the rumors, but I don't know. I never really got that sense from. I mean, 2020 for the Eagles, yeah, I feel like he was like that. He was kind of a little bitter.
A little pouty little motherfucker.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, 2017 through 2019, I feel like he was really good. 2021 with the Colts, I feel like he was not the problem. I feel like he could...
No,
he,
the quarterback is never the problem with the Colts.
I don't know, man. He had a couple games where he was the problem, but overall, he had good statistics. He had a couple bad games, but I don't think... He was the reason why. I think it was more coaching than anything.
I was listening to the reason why I'm like iffy on Carson Wentz. Is I was listening to New Heights, the Travis Jason Kelce podcast, and they were talking about like gifts that I guess I didn't realize this, but your quarterback will buy the team gifts.
They'll buy the offensive line and a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, Jason Kelce has this beautiful Louis Vuitton duffel bag that he shows up in like a hoodie and sweatpants too for every game, but it's like, you know, the grubbiest of clothes with what, like a $3,000 duffel bag or something. Carson Wentz bought everyone a shotgun on the O-line.
Yep. That is
like,
true.
That is his gift to the O-line. Like, oh, he's a shotgun. I'm from North Dakota.
Yeah, he's a hyper religious hunting fanatic.
Jesus Christ.
He's like a weirdo religion too. He's like, it's like, it's Christian, but it's like one of the weird ones where like you have to buy in all the way and you have to try to like actively convert people. One of those sects of Christianity.
Yeah. I don't
Jehovah's Witness, but like,
no, it's not that, but it is very similar in practice. I forget what
it's like.
It's
like the white, let's see.
Yes. Very much. That.
Mormon.
That's not a different, that's not Christianity. I don't think. Is that Christianity?
Well, he found Jesus.
It's the Jesus of Latter-day Saints.
Jesus of Latter-day Saints.
Think of it like a multiverse.
Yeah.
It's Jesus in 616, and there's Jesus in 868.
Right. I'll do a couple more here. Well, one more, and then the enemy showed up.
Oh, fuck.
So every strategy game ever, chess, checkers, Othello, poker, Candyland, you name it.
Candyland's a strategy game?
I mean
you pick those colors.
I haven't played Candyland in a minute, but I play a lot of like competitive games with women, you know, on like, or, you know, or like.
Dating competitive games with women.
I won this date. Like,
oh, yeah. You came more than me. I won.
That's a victory for both of us.
Right.
Anytime you can leave a date going, you're welcome.
I think we tied.
But no, like chess, check. Connect Four is big. I'm big on Connect Four. Women, I rarely ever lose in Connect Four.
I played a game of Connect Four the other day where me and the guy I was playing were so like kind of focused on setting up our strategy that I won by accident. And then like 10 moves later, somebody else came up to the board and was like, why are you guys still playing? I was like, oh shit, I won.
Interesting.
Yeah, all right.
No, I'm good at that. I'm good
let's
at all, games, you know, all those things.
Sure. Let's get this over with, Dan. Mike, we have a enemy of the show who likes to
Previously mentioned Glenn Tickle.
Oh yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah. He shows up regularly with comments like this. One time my feet got chopped off by Skeletor or whatever. I'm in codeine cough syrup right now, baby. Love the show, homie.
Thanks, Glenn.
Normally he'll put the button on it.
Isn't
and say,
he in Budapest?
You know, defeated.
You know, when you said the enemy, I thought that you were talking about like, I thought that was like a code name for your fiance or your wife. I don't know. I was like, this is an interesting name that you have for the women. I was like,
we love them both. They are good people. But no,
can't
Glenn
say the
Tickle.
Same about Glenn.
Glenn Tickle is not our wife. Make that.
I'll make that T-shirt.
There. Yeah, Glenn Tickle is not our wife. Isn't he in Budapest, or did he just buy the ticket to Budapest?
I don't know if he's there yet, but he is okay. Going. If he's
yeah.
not there yet,
he's yeah. going to perform his special in Hungary.
Wow,
and yeah, that's cool. Great. Good for him. But if he's sipping down codeine, he's either made a strong life choice or he is not feeling good.
Yeah. I would love it if he was just doing that casually.
I did that the other day. I was feeling a little under the weather and I finished the NyQuil, but there was like, you know, NyQuil's fairly viscous and thick. So I just like filled it with water and shook it. So I just had like a little NyQuil light drink to polish off the rest of it. And it was good. And I slept really well. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for submitting. And thank you, Michael Beavers, for coming on the show and being so vulnerable with us and talking with us and looking so good in that robe.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you so much. We'll be back next week to talk about Mowage.
Which will
will be the emotion, maybe. I don't know. No. Dan, I know I usually make a joke about this, but I'm very happy for you, and I love you very much.
Shut up.
I can't wait to get shit hammered at your wedding.
Oh, it's going to be a blast.
That's it. See you next week. Bye, all.
Bye.
Feel Feelings is a Wasted Robot production. Editing done by Dan Getz. Music by George Bruderman. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at FeelFeelingsPod and even leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/FeelFeelings. If you're ever feeling any heavy emotions and feel like there's nowhere to turn to, please don't hesitate to reach out to us or to any of the resources in the show notes. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation from the Wasted Robot Network. For more information and links to other shows, please visit www.wastedrobotrecords.com/podcasts.
We're such a professional show.